Gospel is John chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The word of the Lord.
Well, good morning. I just want to begin by saying I'm glad to be back. If you haven't noticed, I've been gone for a month, and I didn't just disappear. I was on sabbatical, and it was a wonderful time. My wife and I and my children, we have some time off, and one of the things we did was go to Europe for 2 weeks, to Norway and to Portugal. Had a lovely time with friends and family, and just wanted to thank you for that gift of a sabbatical and how rejuvenating it was, and feel free to find me sometime in the next few weeks and ask me about it, and I'm happy to share some of these stories. I'll share a little bit during this sermon, but just thank you so much again for the gift of that sabbatical. I want to begin by talking about belonging, and one thing about belonging is that all of us know the difference between a community in which we belong and one that we don't. And basically, to belong feels lovely, and to feel like you don't belong feels pretty rotten. All of us, I hope, have friends or family with whom we can just be ourselves and we can know that we belong. We don't have to pretend we're anything. We don't really have to even do much to know that we're loved and appreciated and valued. Like I said, my family and I just went on a trip. We went with these really close friends, and you know, after 2 weeks, you have to like the people you're with when you're traveling. Otherwise, you're going to go crazy. And we really did. And just to be with these people who are our good friends, who we knew we belonged with, it was a wonderful thing. And those kinds of people are the ones that we all want to spend time with, right? Because we enjoy feeling those belonging relationships. Meanwhile, all of us also at some point find ourselves in situations where maybe we feel like we don't belong as much as we'd like to. I recall, you know, years ago I was a groomsman in a wedding, and somehow the way it went was I really knew the groomsman, the guy who was getting married really well, the groom, but I basically didn't know anyone else in the wedding. So the wedding ceremony was pretty fun, but afterwards here is the rest of the reception group, and it seemed like they all knew each other and I didn't. And you know, it wasn't the worst thing in the world, but it wasn't the most fun reception either when you're kind of the odd man out of belonging. You know, along with things like food and water and shelter and sleep, these physical needs, belonging is seen by psychologists as a psychological need. What they find is people thrive more when they have it, and people struggle more with things like anxiety, anger, and depression when they don't. And you know, when you see a community and a group of people expressing the message to another person that you belong, it's a really beautiful thing. And to talk about this, I want to share some stuff about our sabbatical travels. Like I said, during my sabbatical, we went to Norway, and we went there with some American friends, and we were going to visit some Norwegian friends who we'd met in seminary. And apart from just wanting to spend time with our friends, the occasion was the confirmation of one of these three sons in this family, a kid named Oscar. And just as a brief aside, the husband in this family is a pastor in the Lutheran Church in Norway at a church called Girpenkirke, which is in a town called Skien, S-K-I-E-N. And I think we have a picture of it, I hope. Yeah, a beautiful church. This is where he worked. It's extremely historic. It was consecrated and built in 1153 A.D., which means that it's almost 1,000 years old. Some of the walls that still stand are 1,000 years old. And it's just an amazing thing to walk into this place with such history and such beauty. And so here it is. It sits on the hill above the town of Skien. And on the same day as was confirmation here at Trinity, on that Sunday, was the same day that the Norwegian confirmation happened. I was sorry to miss ours, but I was also really excited to see what a Norwegian confirmation looked like. And the service itself was nice. I mean, it was pretty similar to what you'd expect around here, apart from the language. But getting back to the idea of how beautiful it is when a community expresses that message that you belong, it's kind of what happened after the service that blew me away about Norwegian confirmation. So the family we were seeing told us that you know, all along that this confirmation day was going to be a huge day, and that they were going to be working a lot in the buildup. And we knew it was going to be a big deal and there was going to be a get-together, but I think we never realized how big of a deal it really is in that country. It turns out that in Norway, confirmation is a huge deal because it's not just kind of a religious service, you know, confirming someone in the faith, though it can be that, but it's also viewed as a rite of passage into kind of adulthood. This is when adolescents kind of make the shift into being seen at least as young adults. And apparently what's crazy is not just religious people do confirmation in Norway. Even atheists have humanist confirmations because you have to get confirmed. This is when you kind of become an adult. And so on the day of confirmation, they have these services. And, you know, what's typical after the service and what we experienced is that they throw these huge banquets for the kids following the service. And dozens of family and friends come, and there's tons of food. And then there's this big program for like 6 hours. Everyone dresses up nice and goes to wherever the banquet is. And it's all about celebrating and kind of acknowledging who this young person is and who they, you know, the gifts that they have. And so people come forward, there's a microphone, and they share stories and give speeches about this person and their memories and what they love about this person. And they sing songs and write poems in their honor, and they show embarrassing baby pictures and you know, slideshows about them. And they even kind of embarrass them, too, beyond that. You know, they'll say, "We love you, you're so wonderful." And then they'll also say, "And you know, you're kind of stubborn, but we love you anyway." Americans would probably go crazy with this. You know, everyone's looking at you, and they share embarrassing stories. But you could tell in this culture that it was very much part and parcel of what they do. And definitely the overall message was this message of belonging, that you're part of our community, that we love you, and that we're so proud of you as you enter into adulthood. And after witnessing a Norwegian confirmation, I was filled with kind of two contrasting emotions. One was admiration for how beautiful this kind of tradition was. What a wonderful thing to tell a young person that they belong. But I also kind of felt sad that I feel like in our country, in our culture, we don't have as many gatherings like this where people just get celebrated, right? Maybe a wedding, sort of. Maybe a graduation, sort of. But just this thing that's all about appreciating a person and telling them they belong. I feel like cultures used to have more of this, but we've kind of gotten a little more disconnected in that way. You know, a lot of the problem in this world is, Mother Teresa once said, the biggest problem in this world is that we've forgotten we belong to each other. And it is a problem with human beings that we're often pretty stingy with who we decide who belongs. We like to play favorites with belonging. We love people, but we don't love everybody. We create winners and losers. We create expectations, and if you don't fit the expectations, you don't belong in groups and out groups, friends and enemies. In today's reading, St. Paul uses an interesting term to describe this kind of mindset of cutting people out of belonging. He calls it living according to the flesh. Now, we often misread this kind of term, the flesh, as maybe being something that's just talking about like sins of the body, something like, you know, inappropriate sex or substance abuse or addictions or something like this. And certainly these can be examples of living according to the flesh. But I think for Paul, the word flesh doesn't just stand for sins of the body. Flesh is a symbolic term that stands for a certain kind of mindset. And it's the mindset of flesh that's mostly self-centered. It's me and mine focused. It wants to be the best, not just, you know, for kind of to excel, but it just wants to be better than everyone. It wants to have the most, and it wants the things it wants quickly and without sacrifice. And the mindset of the flesh is fear-based because it tells us that if we don't take for ourselves, if we don't get as much as we possibly can in this world, we're going to be empty and we're going to lose. And when it comes to belonging, the mindset of the flesh wants to belong for certain. Everyone wants to belong. But once it gains belonging, it wants to find people to then exclude from that same belonging, because sometimes exclusive belonging feels more special than letting just anyone in. And if you haven't noticed, this kind of self-centered mindset is rife in our world. It's rife in our culture. And I think it's rife because it's a mindset that lives to some extent in all of us. The selfish, the life of the flesh battles for supremacy in our hearts every single day in all of us. And honestly, I think it's kind of our default. Without the effect of people in our lives showing us love and generosity, you know, whether they're parents or the church or friends or whatever, without the Holy Spirit, I think all of us left to ourselves would kind of prefer selfishness, right? We like living according to ourselves. We like getting what we want. The good news, says St. Paul, is that through Jesus Christ, we have been adopted sons and daughters of God. That's what he says in Romans, right? We have become heirs of God's, of the Son's sonship. He says we're adopted sons and daughters, and therefore, he says, we have a special gift, the gift of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The term indwelling of the Holy Spirit is kind of a fancy way to say it, but it's just a fancy way of saying that God lives in your heart. And not just kind of in some poetic ways, you know, God is watching over you, but really that God lives in you. You are a temple of Christ. God lives in your heart. And so even though the mindset of the flesh, the mindset of selfishness, is trying to win your heart every second of every day, it's not the only thing that's there. The Holy Spirit, says Paul, is also there. And it's fighting for you, and it's calling you to something better. And the indwelling of the Holy Spirit gives us the exact opposite of the mindset of the flesh. Whereas the flesh mindset wants to make your love smaller and more exclusive and more stingy, the Spirit wants to open you up and make your love bigger and wider and deeper and more generous. The Spirit is calling you to hear the story of Jesus again and again, who died not just for some, but for all, right? For God so loved the whole world. And that includes you, which is a wonderful thing to hear, no matter who you are and what you've done. It also includes your neighbor out there, even the ones you don't like, no matter what they've done. Paul says we've been adopted together in the family of God, and that means that we are one big family in the eyes of Christ, which means that we belong to each other more deeply than any of us usually realize. We often forget that to deny any neighbor our love is to deny a brother and sister of God, right? This is our brother and sister, spiritually speaking. Because again, we belong to each other. We are a family, whether we like it or not. I think, though, once in a while, we get a glimpse of what it means to truly show love to a neighbor as if they're our family, right? To go all the way in that love. It's nearing Memorial Day, and this, of course, is a time when we remember and honor those who've given their lives in service to our country. And it's time for remembering so many amazing stories of selfless love to those who've served. We hear so many stories of soldiers who jump on grenades to save men and women that they somehow viewed, in a way, as family. men and women who endured great loss and trauma and lost limbs and even gave everything because something in their hearts called them to serve something greater than themselves. You know, these are great examples of how deep the Spirit's love wants to make us love. Because, you know, nobody would jump on a grenade for someone that they didn't feel any connection to. They do that because impulsively, at that moment, on some level, they recognize that this person belongs. This person is part of their spiritual family. This person is a friend. Well, again and again, Jesus centered his ministry on this exact theme, this message that all people belong to God, that the kingdom of God has come near so that all people can come to know that they belong. I think one of the most beautiful ways he preached this message was in parables and in the parable of the prodigal son, the story of a son who takes his inheritance early, rejects his father, lives badly, squanders everything, and yet when he returns in humiliation, his father immediately welcomes him back as family. Well, sometimes a picture says 1,000 words, so I wanted to show you one more slide from this church in Norway. If you can see it, this is behind the altar in the church, front and center. You know, often in churches, we kind of have these big, powerful images of God. We don't often have these kind of more tender stories. But this is a beautiful mosaic done in the early 20th century by a famous artist. And it's the story of the prodigal son, this scene where the son has returned and he's, you know, in rags on his knees, and there's the father's embrace immediately. And I love this. What better way to represent what God is about? Generous belonging, an embrace of love, forgiveness. This is exactly what God is all about. And so today we remember that the Spirit lives in you. And Jesus' prayer for us all is that it would also live through you as well. Amen.